What's going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 4 of the BFG podcast. Back from a little bit of a break. We were going to film last week, but it was in the middle of E3. So we decided, let's push it back a week. That way we could talk about E3 in its full entirety. But before we get into that, Tyler, I'm here with Tyler, of course, my co-host of the show and the one who pretty much runs everything, makes sure everything's up on time. And so don't thank me, thank him. Tyler, what is going on in your world? What's going on?
Mostly, there's been a lot of E3 stuff.
Really? I didn't know that.
There's a lot happened with E3. Mm-hmm. We saw The Incredibles 2.
We did.
I saw Hereditary. I think that's most of the big stuff right now. I mean, you know, it's basically just down to the same routine. Mm-hmm. Just same work schedule. Just chilling.
Just chilling.
Yeah, nothing real big and new right now.
Nothing big and new. Honestly, I think I could say about the same thing. You know, it's been just a very... It's somewhat crazy couple weeks. One of my friends, actually, Lucy, who you didn't get a chance to meet because your sister-in-law just had to get married on the day of the graduation party. Her sister actually just moved here from Peru, so she just moved to America. So we're trying to get her acclimated. We went down to Orlando to pick her up. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, that's kind of the most exciting thing that's been happening with me in the past couple weeks is going down there to help complete a family again, get them all back under one roof. Other than that, you know, playing some games.
So as part of the pre-order for God of War,
yes,
they were supposed to send me like a little pin Kratos and his son on it, and I had totally forgotten about it because, you know, they sent me the email and I had cashed in on that like the day that the game came out.
Okay.
And then I just kind of moved on and forgot, but that came in like 3 days ago or something like that. And it shipped from China. It had like the Chinese shipping label on it, so I get why it took so long. But that was cool, just kind of a fun surprise because I had forgotten that was even supposed to be on its way, and that came in a few days ago. So that's on my messenger bag now.
Okay,
so that's fun. So not as big as your news.
No. Well, actually, I'll tell a little bit of a story that's happened to me. So Tyler, as you know, I had a launch edition PS4. Kind of started to crap out. So I went and I traded it and I got another one. Mm-hmm. That one actually crapped out, mm-hmm. You know, because I don't want to say it crapped out, but I wanted to make sure I took advantage of the 30-day warranty from the store that I'm going to send it out. So whenever I was playing like a Call of Duty, you know, my screen would just kind of start flashing white, like get a little bit of that snow effect, cut out, but it would never shut off. Like my controller was still making the sounds and everything, and it would come back on. So actually, I have a new PS4 on top of the new PS4. I got rid of the old one. Mm-hmm. That's the Days of Play that Sony does. So it's the nice blue one that has the logos.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yeah, so I just waited to get that. And you're going to be happy to know that I'm going to sit down because, as you know, when I got the second PS4, I somehow lost all my data to God of War when you said I was about more than halfway through. I'm going to sit down this week and I'm going to hammer it out. I'm going to try to finish the entire game this week because even though I still have the external hard drive that says that God of War is on it and I moved it from the external hard drive to the PlayStation 4, it still tells me to start a new game. So I'm starting over again. Oh, well, I'm going to try it. By the way, your alien pop is dead over there.
Yeah, it fell down.
So that's kind of a little story for me on this aspect. So I've got a new PS4 on top of the new PS4. Going to play God of War. Just a whole bunch of amazing things. We're going to get into E3. I finally got off the no trade list at our favorite retailer GameStop after so long. And then I rewarded them by bringing in 3+ months worth of crap. And I actually did a $1,300 trade. Because, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I promise you, I will show you the receipts. $1,300 worth of trade, because that's 4 months worth of stuff. For those of you guys who don't know, I buy and sell a lot of games and toys on the side. So there are some games that I get that, for whatever reason, will trade in more to GameStop than I can get elsewhere, so why not do it?
Yeah.
So I traded all that stuff in, and I paid off a bunch of pots, I paid off a bunch of toys, I paid off a bunch of... I'm pretty much caught up on almost everything up until next year. I think there's only 3 more games I got to pay off for. Well, maybe 4 games I got to pay off for this year. But I paid off a whole bunch of pop figures, everything, you know. And I will have another surprise come later. I haven't even told you about that one yet that I'm going to start doing. I may actually need your help. But before we jump into the podcast, I want to make sure we say something here. And that's been killing the two of us. That we've already kind of said it, so you should know when I say it. When E3 happened and when we saw Incredibles 2, we have not talked to each other about it at all. We have not said a word about it.
which made things super awkward.
It did. It
was like without because we were both stoked for E3, and then we're sitting there like, so do you want to talk about E3?
No. Do you want to talk about E3? And we purposely did that for this podcast. So anything that we talk about, what we liked, what we didn't like for both E3 and The Incredibles 2. We don't know what each other's going to say. I've got a list here of some of the games I'm going to talk about. Tyler, I think he's got it in his head.
I've got it on my phone.
He's got it on his phone. I was about to say, I'm not that smart to remember everything. I'm sure I'm going to miss something. He may miss something that I bring up, but we have no idea what we're going to like or dislike about E3, about the show with each other. So this is going to be a completely genuine, first-time, honest-to-God podcast, honest-to-God reaction podcast that I'm excited about. It's a little different. So with that being said, let's just jump right into Incredible. Oh,
I actually had a question real quick.
Yes, absolutely. Because
we normally do like a quick question before we really kick into it.
Yes,
so
that's a 3 weeks off. I almost forgot about that.
So my thought for this one was,
yes,
since we graduated, I've had a lot more time to be like playing games. Right. I mean, my hours have extended. I've been, because, you know, before I was doing like 5 hours and now I'm at work for about 8 hours.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm at work longer, but I don't have to come home and like work on things or come home and like worry about an essay that's due, things like that. So I've had a lot more time to get back into like my passions and hobbies and things like that.
Right.
So over the last couple of weeks, I've been playing Vampire and Jurassic World Evolution. Those are my two new ones. Mm-hmm. I've also been replaying Devil May Cry because another buddy of mine, Justin, he's actually going to do a video on it. I don't think it's up yet. If it is, I'll try to link to it with the video, but I don't think it's up yet. But he was going to do a video because Devil May Cry is like his big franchise. He's all about it. And so, okay, you know, he saw the new trailer from E3, which, you know, we can talk about later.
Yes.
But he was super stoked about it, and he's been like, he's put together like pages and pages of content that he wants to talk about, and like all these questions and thoughts about the new game and how all the games fit together, their chronology, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of inspired me to go back and play the old ones again. So I've also been playing Devil May Cry, the HD one. I've been playing it on PC, and I've been playing a little bit of like the different Final Fantasies, not really like really getting into one of them, but I've kind of like just hacking around in like 9 and 13 and World of Final Fantasy, you know, just kind of like hopping back in and just enjoying like these fantasy worlds again now that I've got the time to do it.
Right.
And so I was curious, have you been into, I know you said you were going to start play through God of War now that you got your new PS4, but has there been anything you've been playing recently?
So actually, another half a little story. I think I've actually told you this once, or if I haven't told you, I've hinted at it, but I'm going to come out and actually say it, is that, so this summer, outside of any little things that I'm probably going to forget, like Captain Toad Treasure Tracker comes out in July. I actually never played that on the Wii U. I'll have that for the Switch. So this summer, my goals are to, first of all, finish Kirby Star Allies, which I'm pretty sure I'm at the final boss, so that one I could even finish today or tomorrow. Get that one hammered out of the way. God of War I'm going to finish. Mm-hmm. And the big one is that I actually never played any of the Kingdom Hearts games.
None of them.
I mean, I've dabbled like, okay, I play like a little bit here, a little bit there, but I never sat down from start to finish and played any of them.
I thought we were friends.
Me too. But and then we started the podcast and we got torn apart. So one of my goals this summer is to sit down, because I have the collection on PS4, at least play 1 and 2 to get ready for 3, since that finally has a release date after a trillion years. Mm-hmm. So those two are on my summer to-beat list, at least by August. And August is going to be an absolute slam month for me. But I'll get into that one in a couple podcasts to let everybody know what the hell's going on, where they can find me. So it's going to be finish Kirby, God of War, Kingdom Hearts 1, Kingdom Hearts 2, couple other little things that may pop up. I'm sure I'm forgetting something. But those I would say are the main four to play and beat this summer, really.
Okay.
So I guess that's I hope that answers your question at least.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so was there anything else? Do you want to jump right into Incredibles 2 so we can finally discuss it? We saw it Thursday night. We saw it this past Thursday. So anything else you want to add before we jump in? Or
no, I'm good. I just wanted to see, mostly for my own benefit.
Okay.
I was just curious.
Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah.
The last couple of weeks, all I've been doing is playing video games. So I was curious if you've been.
Nothing wrong with that.
If you had been catching up on anything too.
Well, I got caught up on some personal work. Obviously, you know, with the business. So I will have, now that I got like a lot of the big chunk out of the way for that, I have a little more time to.
Oh, you didn't talk about this yet.
Oh yeah.
If you're on the podcast, you can't see this, but if you're watching, you can see the luxurious hair growing out of his face that I'm lovingly stroking.
Snapping back to reality. Okay, yeah, so yeah, I've got my beard coming in. You know, I've always been clean shaven my entire life, but I figured, what the hell, let's try something new. And, you know, I got a trimmer and keep it nice, you know, make it look good.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll look like Braun Strowman one day. I don't even know who that is, but he's a wrestler, and he's like twice my size, and his beard comes down.
Who?
Braun Strowman.
Oh,
yeah.
I heard Bram Stoker.
Yeah, close enough. Anyway.
Because he wrote Dracula.
He did.
But
maybe I want to be him. I'll write Dracula too.
I don't know if he had a beard.
Well, maybe he did.
The author of Dracula.
Maybe he did have a beard. We just don't know it. Anyway, but yeah, so let me know in the comments below. What do you guys think? Go on Instagram or Twitter or anything like that. Facebook, you know, let us know. So, I think now that we got that out of the way.
Yeah, now we can move on.
Now we can move in. So, Tyler, a movie that we've been waiting 14 years for, that Pixar themselves took the main cast and apologized to us at the beginning of the movie, saying, we're sorry this took so long, but, you know, it required a lot of work. We wanted to make sure we did it right. Incredibles 2 finally came out. And I don't know if you know this one, but Toy Story, the trilogy, really, I kind of put them all together.
Yeah.
Is my favorite Disney Pixar movie, all three of them.
I didn't realize that for a fact, but that, I mean, it's a good choice.
Well, they were.
I can respect that.
I mean, there's just something about Toy Story, at least all three of them. And actually, Incredibles is my second favorite, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't think I could put them in order after that, which ones I like. You know, obviously Finding Nemo's up there, Monsters, Inc. is up there. But I would probably say Incredibles is my second favorite Disney Pixar. So, needless to say, I was ready to go Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
We both had some thoughts on it. I think, actually, it's set up for a third one. Are we gonna talk spoilers in this one so I don't have to make you go back and bleep everything out?
Let's try to avoid spoilers if we can.
Well,
with kind of an asterisk there, it's the movie sets itself up really clearly from the beginning.
Yes.
We're going to try to avoid spoilers, but at least for me, and Haven said the same thing, and I'm sure you thought the same thing.
Yes, yes.
From about, you know, 5 minutes in, it was generic. Not that it was bad, like that, you know, I'm not saying anything about the movie itself, but it was a very, like, by the numbers, like, a few minutes in, you were like, oh, this is how it's going to go down, this is who the bad guy's going to be, so on and so forth. The quote-unquote twist was, you know, it's like, if you've ever seen a Disney movie ever, you know what's going to happen.
Yes. And I don't think this is a spoiler, but actually this movie, which I didn't know, picks up pretty much right after the events of the first one.
Yeah, I have read that. I don't think that was meant to be like a spoiler or anything.
No.
They had talked about that before the movie came out. It's not, it doesn't take place like a certain amount of time later. It picks up with the Underminer. Like,
you
even see some quick flashes from the end of The Incredibles at the beginning of this movie.
So it sets it up very well. I had to figure out a way to talk about this without spoiling anything. You know, it is one of those Disney movies where if you've seen a Disney movie that, you know, okay, this is how it's going to be. But I thought it was done very well. Maybe it could just been the nostalgia talking for me waiting so long for this movie. But the development of the characters and, I mean, you kind of see in the preview, so this really isn't a spoiler, but focusing more on having Elastigirl.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of being, we want you over Frozone and Mr. Incredible. That was a nice change to get that going. And I think the kids had some good development too throughout it.
That's the one thing that really struck me about this one. And one thing, and I mean, you know, the first one was good about it too. But what I really liked about this one was that the dialogue felt genuine.
Yes, like, absolutely.
For an animated movie, if like watching it, it felt, I guess, for lack of a better term, I guess, like, grown up.
Yes, absolutely.
It didn't feel like it was trying to still cater to kids. it felt like it kind of picked up for the audience that would have watched the first Incredibles.
Yes, absolutely.
It was a little bit, like, not edgy, I guess, mm-hmm. but, like, it just, it felt like the dialogue felt a little bit more grown up and more genuine, and it dealt a lot more with the Incredibles family as, like, the Parr family as a family, like their dynamic and the way they talk to each other. And it dealt with that in kind of like what I thought was an honest way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought like the dialogue and the way it was written was really, really effective.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree with that. And just the story in general, obviously you kind of could figure out who the villain was or what was going to happen relatively early on. But again, it's a kids movie, but it was still done well enough for us. And the biggest thing for me was just seeing the development for the kids in this movie. Dash, Violet, and even Jack-Jack. Jack-Jack stole the show, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Jack-Jack was amazing.
And if you've read any review for The Incredibles 2, you've probably read already that Jack-Jack is kind of the star of this movie.
Absolutely, he is. And I think really for me was just seeing them pick it up right after the events of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Not having a time lapse, not having like nothing major has happened in 14 years. And then obviously it did set up very well for the third one, which there is not spoiling anything, but the way it started and ended, there is room for Incredibles 3.
If I'm not mistaken, they already talked about that. They already said something along the lines of the third one will happen. Or something like that.
It's got to happen. I mean, if Pixar had to go and get all of the main actors and actresses, you know, even Samuel L. Jackson, which he didn't even cut, which was amazing. You know, they had a really cool, like, hey guys, you know, it's finally here. Thank you for your patience. We know you really wanted it. And it's just one of those things where it's like, hey, you know, let's do this. You know, and they're going to make money off of it. And I kind of think of it as places or whatever. It's like, hey, we're people, we want this, we're willing to spend money on it, let us have it, type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it was done perfectly, you know. I mean, obviously, you know, the only downside I would say, at least for us adults who have grown up with it, it was like, okay, we know who the villain is right away without even really thinking about it.
Yeah,
that would be the only downside. But in terms of the humor, in terms of everything in it, it was spot on.
Mm-hmm.
All of us were laughing, you know, and it was done very well in the Pixar-esque way that it should be done.
Yeah.
And I very much enjoyed it. It is definitely, you know, it's so hard for me to choose between one or the other. I would say the first one edges it just a little bit. But in terms of saying, okay, where's this rank on my favorite Pixar movies, it's got to be right up there with number one, just kind of where I have Toy Story 1, 2, and 3 as like my top. I can watch those anytime.
Yeah.
I have this one right up there with Incredibles as number two, at least for me.
Yeah, I think I would say more or less the same thing. Mm. It's, I don't know if I'd say that it's like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I tend toward, you know, I think in my personal list, I'd probably put, as far as Disney Pixar, probably like, well, I really liked Coco. I know it's the newest one, you know, it's kind of still riding a little bit on the hype of being like their new movie, but I liked Coco an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like Up an awful lot, and I like Inside Out and Brave, which Brave was a little bit more divisive.
Yes.
That one was not one of their highest reviewed ones, but that one, something about it, I think it was just like the locales. I liked the setting and the way it was done. But something about that one just kind of captured me.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Brave an awful lot.
Okay.
But I would say it was a really solid movie. You know, it's definitely, well, it's like far above, you know, kind of like the lesser Pixar, like, you know, and, you know, depending on who you ask, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but, you know, like A Bug's Life and Cars and, you know, just the ones that are considered like the weaker Pixar or like Good Dinosaur, stuff like that. It's definitely a more solid Pixar movie, but I don't know if it's at like the top of my personal like list.
Yeah, I can see that.
But it was like, I'd say it matched stride for stride the first movie. I think my biggest complaint would be probably the predictability of it. And also, it felt like it was trying a little bit too hard to have cool, like, superhero and spy gadgets. Mm-hmm. Where the first one felt, like, really natural. Like, it introduced these different things, you know, like, the different organizations and, like, the music, Giacchino's music and all this was, like, so good and so natural. Like, it felt like it flowed a little bit better. And this one, I feel like there were a couple of times where it just, it felt like they were trying really hard to bring back that magic.
Yes.
Rather than it, like, being a natural thing.
Yes. And I could see that, too. And obviously, you know, they had to choose some things different after 14 years. But mm-hmm. in terms of what you said with, like, their lesser picks are, like, you know, I like The Bug's Life. You know, I wouldn't call that a lesser one. But Cars 1, I thought was good. 2 and 3, I definitely would say is more towards the end of the pack. Yeah. You know, I kind of put, like, Monsters University. It was good, but not, you know, as good as Monsters, Inc.
Right.
But I think it could just very well be the nostalgia, but, you know, from start to finish in Incredibles 2, like, I enjoyed every minute of it outside of the predictability, which, you know, okay, yeah, that was, even though we kind of knew it was, to me, it's like this. This is probably the last thing I'm going to say on this one, is that even though it was predictable, it was still good enough for me to enjoy the entire movie because of the other characters they introduced. Like, they had all those other new guys come in that were, I'm not going to spoil it. There were some new characters.
Yeah.
Not going to spoil what happened, but because they had that, then it was, it helped the movie still flow, even, okay, we know this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. This character is going to be that. Just, that's kind of what really helped it continue for me, even with the predictability.
Yeah.
So, I think for me, I got to give it a solid, maybe, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. Honestly, I thought it was really good. I thought it was really, really good. I don't normally buy a lot of movies day one. Mm-hmm. I usually just wait until Black Friday when all of them are like $10, even the Disney ones. But I think I could pretty safely say that Incredibles 2 will be a day one purchase for me when it comes out.
Okay. I would probably say, I was thinking, before you gave your number, I was thinking like an 8.5.
Going to say that, but just, I don't know. Like, as soon as I say 8.5, as soon as we shut off the camera, I would look at you and say, darn it, I should have said 9. So I just went ahead and did 9.
Yeah. So. But you were also saying, too, this was, like, one of your big ones.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of your favorites. Yeah. Because I think, like, on a scale where, like, you know, for me, you know, like, where Coco would get, like, a 9 or a 9.5, I think this one would get, like, an 8 or an 8.5.
Okay. So, with that being said, did you want to talk about the movie you just saw the other day that I did not see with you?
Yes! Yeah. I also saw, just a couple days later, we saw Incredibles 2 on Thursday night, and then Saturday night I went, or no, Friday night, it was the next night.
It must have been last night, because that's when you posted on our Instagram.
No, it was Saturday morning.
Saturday morning, yes.
I went and saw a matinee, because it was like $5. Which it doesn't really matter because I use my movie pass. Mm. But anyway, I went to see a matinee of Hereditary, which it was a really solid horror movie. It's like a slow burn horror movie, which, so, you know, a lot of movies will kind of, especially in the horror genre, they want those jump scares. They want those that shock value. They rely on having those moments that kind of like make you jittery and jump out of your seat, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And this one, it was definitely scary, but it was like, it built an atmosphere throughout the movie. There were no jump scares or anything like that until like the very end. The idea is kind of, there's these unsettling things happening and there's like this underlying sense of dread all throughout the movie. And, you know, there are, like, grotesque things that happen and scary things that happen, but it's not like a jump scare or like super in your face. It's like, these things are just happening,
right.
You know? Okay. And it's like, you're kind of a witness to these things as they happen. It's not there to, you know, like, pop up right in the camera to scare you. It's there to tell a story first and foremost. And, you know, if the story is a dark, unsettling story, then, you know, that's how it is. And I liked Hereditary an awful lot. I don't know if it'd be up there with my favorites, but it was a really, again, I think it'd probably sit around like an 8 or an 8.5 for me. But I think what it does really effectively is the storytelling. The writing was really good. The acting was just incredible. One of the things that I like best about horror movies is that it shows evil for what it is. Mm-hmm. And especially, I come from like a strict Christian family, and I think there's kind of like, in a lot of movies, like especially now as comedies are getting like more and more like raunchy and ridiculous all the time, I think there are times where, you know, it's like these kind of like some things that shouldn't be joked about, yes, are made jokes in movies now. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of just like making light of all these horrible things. And I think horror movies a lot of times show evil for what it is. It's more honest and upfront about kind of like the dark things that happen and the darker side of humanity. And, you know, a lot of them are just steamy piles of garbage,
of course.
It's like they're really bad horror movies. And the vast majority of them are, you know, they're there for the shock value. They're not there to be like, they're not there to tell a really effective story. They're there to scare you and send you on your way. But every once in a while you come across like a really effective one. And I think Hereditary is a really effective horror movie for its storytelling and its acting. But I think first and foremost, it tells a story that it really is like dark and unsettling, but it's honest about its portrayal of that. It doesn't try to hide it under like a mask or try to pretend that it's not a bad thing. You know, it tells you from the very beginning that, you know, bad things are happening here and this should be unsettling to you. And I like kind of that like sense of honesty that good horror cinema can bring to the viewers.
Okay.
But that was my basic thoughts about Hereditary. If I was doing spoilers, I could go a lot more in depth, but just a bare bones idea of kind of what to go and expecting. I would recommend going to see it or, you know, watching it in your spare time. If that's something that you, if you're into like horror movies or it's something like that, but it's a very unsettling movie.
Okay.
And you'll have to excuse me, I'm getting over a cold or something, so I'm sorry I'm coughing a lot.
So that just means in 2 weeks I'll be the one getting over the cold, but that's just me.
Probably.
And we'll just switch off. So anyway, Tyler, E3 happened last week.
Yes. Yes, it did.
And we have no idea what we liked, what we didn't like, what we want to talk about.
I know what I liked.
I know what I liked, too. And I think both of us may have an idea of some games that we may chat about from various developers. So I'm going to let you choose. We probably should have done this before the podcast started, but which company? I would say let's save Nintendo for last, because I think I have the most to talk about.
Well, I have a quick question before we get too deep into it.
Sure.
Before we start,
yes,
I want you to try to guess what my top three games were from E3.
I like it.
And I want to try to guess what yours are.
Okay. I think we can dig it.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to?
I want to try and go first on this one,
okay,
if I can.
Okay.
So do I just pick three and then you say they're in the top three, or should I try to do this was your top, so you're saying this was your third?
Just do top three.
Okay, yeah, because I think it'd be too hard to try.
Yeah. I didn't really devote one to like a top spot. Just if you could name a top three.
Okay. So I think one of mine may shock you. I think Fallout 76 is going to be in there.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that one is. Trying to think what Bethesda and everyone showed off as I watched a little bit of theirs. Maybe for one of the... No, I don't want to say Wolfenstein. The new Elder Scrolls that they showed off, because I know how much you enjoy that. And
I do.
I don't know. What can I say for a third one? Give me a hint with the third one, because I want to say I'm kind of lost.
It's not Bethesda.
It's not Bethesda.
Your third one is not Bethesda.
I'm just gonna say Kingdom Hearts 3. Because they gave a release date. I'm gonna say Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay. You got 2 out of 3.
I bet you 2 of them was Fallout 76 and the new Elder Scrolls.
No.
Really? Okay. Intrigued.
They announced that they were working on a new Elder Scrolls.
Yes.
They didn't reveal anything.
Okay.
You know, there was no setting. There were no new gimmicks. There was nothing. It was, you know, you saw, like, some landscape, and it said it was Elder Scrolls 6, and then it cut to black. And that was it.
Okay.
You know, it's cool. I'm glad they're making a new one, but obviously they were going to make a new one.
Yeah.
It doesn't make...
kind of expected.
It doesn't make my hype list just by them saying, yeah, we're working on it. You know, you have to... I need to see something. I need to see what makes... what sets this one apart, especially being as far as Bethesda has milked Skyrim.
It's now on the Amazon Echo, and apparently that's real.
Yeah. It was a joke, but it's also a real joke. You can get Skyrim on your Alexa and actually play like a voice-activated version of Skyrim now, if you want. So that, obviously it's not like one of my top three games, but that was a whole lot of fun. I thought that was great that they made like the joke announcement and then said it's actually not a joke, and you can actually do that if you decide you want to. But I have played Skyrim probably 6 times in various forms. Whether it be, you know, on a different console or with an HD remaster or all modded up on the PC or whatever, I've played that game a lot.
Okay.
And I have sunk, you know, probably thousands of hours into that game. So until they tell me why Elder Scrolls 6 deserves to be played over 5, They gave me nothing to work with right now, you know?
They just said it's coming.
Yeah.
So we'll see how long it takes them to put that one out.
But no, so Fallout 76 was on there, which I'm reluctantly excited about because I'm not huge on online survival games, but I love Fallout, and based on what they were showing us, it seems more, maybe a little bit less like Battlegrounds or Fortnite and a little bit more like, you know, a kind of a cooperative thing where people, you like, people can screw other people over if they decide to. But the basis of the game is not just to, like, you know, mess other people up.
Yeah,
it does look like a more cooperative experience. So I am reluctantly very excited about Fallout 76. You also got Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts is one of my favorite franchises ever. I love Disney and I love Final Fantasy, and it's just a match made in heaven. Everything about them is great. You know, again, that's one of those series where I've played through those games about 3 or 4 times in its different forms, you know, like on their original consoles, and then remastered on the PS3, and then remastered on the PS4, and so on and so forth. So the new one, they showed off a lot. They gave us a release date. They showed off some new worlds. You've got, like, Frozen and Pirates of the Caribbean and Tangled and all those in there now. Which, I think Tangled they had showed a little bit before, but... so that was on there. The third one, you did not mention.
I did not mention. Let's hear it. I'm excited for this one. Dramatic water sip for... time, whatever.
Do you want to take another guess? You want to think a little bit about it?
Give me another hint.
Okay. So the third one, I don't know how to give hints without giving it away.
All right, how about this? It's a hint, but it won't give it away. I'll ask, who is putting this game out? Or is that too much?
What I will tell you is that it's definitely not... what was it? I just had it. So I was looking at it. It's definitely not Anthem.
It's definitely not Anthem.
I can talk about my disappointment with that later.
Okay.
But I mean, you know how I am about RPGs and about BioWare and stuff
Yes. And it looked back and forth.
I've got problems with BioWare and Anthem right now.
You know what? I'm just gonna say Super Mario Party.
Nope.
Okay. I have no idea then.
The remake of Resident Evil 2.
I should have guessed that one. Oh, frick me. Because actually, spoiler for you, that's on my list to talk about.
I kind of wondered if it would be.
So yeah, that's on my list of stuff I want to talk about. I am so excited for that one.
It looks so good.
It looks fantastic. So good.
And I love them. They didn't just like remaster it or like anything like that. They've done away with the old play system altogether. it looks like kind of a combination of the core story of Resident Evil 2, mm-hmm. but with the modern sensibilities of Resident Evil 7. It's got like that art style and that very like dark atmosphere, and it just everything about it looks like they put a lot yes. of thought and effort into this. It's not just like a lazy attempt to cash in on a classic game. It looks like they're really putting a lot of work into making this a good experience for people that loved the original and for people that might be playing it for the first time.
I can't wait to play it. It actually comes out, I think, like a week before Kingdom Hearts 3, like end of yeah. January. So end of January is just going to be and early February, because I mean, even if you finish Resident Evil 2, you're going to jump right into Kingdom Hearts 3. I think Kingdom Hearts 3 is like the 29th, and then Resident Evil 2 is the 22nd or the 25th. They're both in the 20s. I know that.
Yeah.
And I know Resident Evil comes out first, so I have that much of it going for me. So yeah, Resident Evil 2. I saw that trailer, starting with the mouse running around, and then it just I lost it from there. I cannot wait for that game to come out.
As different as it looks, it was also like immediately identifiable.
Yes.
Like you saw the mouse yes. and then you saw like the city on fire, like Raccoon City on fire behind it, and it was like, oh okay, I know what this is.
Yeah.
And it was like I got excited, but I was like, wait, I don't want to jump the gun and it be just like a new game, which would have been really cool.
Yeah.
But I was like, I really hope this is what I think it is.
Well, I don't know if you noticed one of the Easter eggs in the trailer. But I haven't seen anybody really talk about this, but when you see the mouse running around, at one point he's kind of like in the left side of the screen, there's actually a PlayStation 1 just kind of sitting there.
Is there?
Yes.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, is that? Yeah, it was. It was PlayStation 1 memory card and everything. So that's kind of what started to tip me off. I was like, oh boy, here it is. So there, I have that. But yeah, I can't. Oh man. Resident Evil. Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
So, well, we talked about a chunk there.
Yeah, we accidentally got one of our big topics out of the way,
hey,
too.
Hey, you know what? That was one of the games. I mean, we still got a ways to go, and we always try to keep this between an hour. So, what are we at right now,
Tom? 36.
Okay, so we're going to go over an hour.
Oh, then. Yeah, we're definitely going to go over an hour.
So, with that being said, Tyler, would you like to ask me my top three?
I'm going to say yes. that one of them is Resident Evil 2.
I'm going to give you an extra go at it because I don't know if it would be in my top three, but it was definitely in my top. But since you had it, I'm going to let you choose another one since we kind of already chatted about it.
Okay,
so that one doesn't count. That guess doesn't count.
I'm going to rely on a lot on the fact that you're really big on Sony and Nintendo.
Oh, I love Microsoft. I can't stand the other two. Not really. Microsoft, great company, but it's not for me. Sony and Nintendo. Yes, go ahead.
So I'm gonna mostly rely on those. Ghost of Tsushima looked really good, but I don't know if that would break your top three. It's a new IP, and I feel like you're a little bit wary of it right now.
I will say top five, because Sucker Punch did it, and I love the Infamous series.
Yeah.
But not in the top three yet, but definitely top five. Top five.
Last of Us 2.
That's one of them.
Smash Bros. That one, it's already been talked about. They've already shown some stuff. It's yes. not really like a big deal, so I don't know if that's going to bust your top three. It's kind of the same thing they did with Elder Scrolls, where I'm like, they didn't tell me anything. They didn't do anything new. And I'm like,
it was cool seeing all the characters. Like, every single fighter is going to be there. And, you know, we've got the Inkling Girl. We got Ridley. We've got Daisy, who's going to be an Echo fighter. Let's see how many more new characters come in. I want to put Smash Bros. I mean, obviously, I'm going to love Smash Bros. But
yeah.
if that's one of those games where it's kind of like, do I want to put it on there because everybody's going to love it? Or do I want to, like, try to make it a little differently? But at the same time, it's E3. So people are going to be like, Fallout's the greatest. Elder Scrolls, Kingdom Hearts. So, yeah, possibly. I don't know. It's hard for me. I should have thought about this a little more. So keep going. Keep going.
Well, I kind of busted it on you. I didn't ask you before.
Yeah, that's true. I
didn't give you a warning that I was going to do this.
And I will say that Last of Us 2 is definitely a top three. Yeah. That's no question.
Oh, yes. Spider-Man?
Close. I mean, the Sinister Six is going to be there, at least. So.
I did like that. The extended stuff they showed at this showing was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited before, but seeing the new stuff kind of got me even more excited for it.
Yes.
I'm more certain about it now than I was after their first showing.
Comes out in September. Early September. September's going to be a slam month for me, too.
So, yeah, September. It felt like September, October, and January were the big ones. Not so much in, like, November, December time.
Yeah, surprisingly.
But I feel like August and September were huge, and then January was huge again.
Yes. Look at my list here.
Actually, one that wouldn't bust my top three, but I am really excited for is I'm a sucker for the Toys to Life games. You know that. You know how I get into like the Toys to Life games. And
are you going to say something I think you're going to say?
I am absolutely in love with the idea of Starlink.
That's and all I can say.
Is that on your top three?
It's in my top five.
I pre-ordered the Switch one with the Star Fox. Yes.
The thing is, and I'm so happy you brought that up because I thought that was going to only be one that I would talk about.
No.
It's looking like what Star Fox Zero was trying to be on the Wii U.
Yeah.
And I trust Ubisoft to do it. Ubisoft loves working with Nintendo. Obviously, they got that. I can't wait for Starlink to come out. It just looks fantastic. I think that was like... I don't know if it would break my top three or my top five. You know, it's definitely one I'm very excited for. But I think I can definitely, without a doubt, at least for me, say it was the most underrated game of the show.
Yeah.
Or, like, most under the radar for me. So, yes, definitely looking forward to that one. Yeah. Please, we still got two more games to pick. Come on.
But I want to keep talking about it now, though.
We're excited.
But just for a second. So I pre-ordered the Star Fox one for Switch.
Yes.
Can you get the other like pieces and pilots and stuff like that separately? So right now the only thing I can find to pre-order are the starter packs. I can't find the separate pieces to pre-order as well.
So they haven't announced anything on that yet, at least that I've seen. But the way that if Ubisoft was smart, obviously, you know, the whole Toys to Life thing, I love it. Lego Dimensions is one of my favorite games.
I played all of them. I played a lot of Skylanders. Yes. Skylanders was super boring and definitely made for little kids. It is the most simplistic game. You know, it's like, it's a Spyro game, but it's not even as advanced as like a Spyro game. It's such a simple game.
Yes.
It's easy. It's really easy, and it's really linear. But I still played the heck out of it because of the Toys to Life aspect. I loved that idea of being able to have, like, the physical, like, figurines and pop them into my game. I thought that was the coolest thing. Mm-hmm. Then whenever Disney Infinity was announced, I'm like, oh, this is so much better than Skylanders. Awesome. And I sold all my Skylanders, and I got Disney Infinity. And I played that really hard until they discontinued it and they announced Lego Dimensions close-ish to around the same time. And then I sold most of my Disney Infinity. My brother has some of them, and I think I've got one or two laying around, some of my bigger ones. But a couple of my brothers still have my old Disney Infinity stuff, and they still have a few new ones. They had bought some more after I gave my stuff to them. But they have some of my Disney Infinity stuff, and I moved on to Lego Dimensions. And Lego Dimensions just became my jam. I love that idea, and I think what made the difference, first of all, was because of, like, the humor.
Mm-hmm.
I just love, like, the humor that they bring to... Is it Traveler's Tales?
Yes.
That Traveler's Tales brings to the Lego games. But even more than that, I love the fact that... you build your own figures that you put on your base.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you just buy these figures, which there's, you know, the Disney Infinity figures were super cool. I loved doing that. But there's something just so, you like almost bond with these figures
because
mm-hmm. they come in these little Lego boxes and you build your figures, you build your cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then during the game, you upgrade your ships and vehicles and things and they change. And you take them apart and rebuild out of the same pieces. And it's just such a cool concept. And I loved that. I still got all those. Haven won't let me keep them in the living room. But I've got my box down here full of like Legos and the Infinity base and all that. And I bust that out to play Disney or Dimensions.
Yes.
And then when they announced Starlink, it was like, okay, this is my new addiction. I love that idea. Because again, you know, it's like, it's that idea of like, you have your ship, but you can like pop pieces off and swap in for like new weapons and new pilots and stuff like that. And it like changes your attacks and the way you play based on these ships that you build yourself. And it's not like a base that you sit on the floor. It attaches to your controller. You're sitting here with the ship on your controller, like as you play, and you can like hot swap them in the middle of the game, which you would do with the bases in the old games, but you had to have the bases, you know, like on a coffee table or on the floor or something like that. And like, now you don't even have to have that. Your base that you're like swapping the figures and stuff out on is in your hands with your controller. It's all one piece now, but it's still got that like hot swap capability of Lego Dimensions. And I'm so in love with it. I need it so bad.
I think it comes out early this year. I think August or September.
Yeah, that was just like a couple months.
Yeah, I don't have my phone either, so I can't look it up. But it is coming out relatively soon.
Yeah, I can check real quick.
Yeah, please let us know.
Do you have any other thoughts while I'm...
Honestly, I think for me is that just seeing what Star Fox Zero could have been and seeing this try to take over for it. Because I love those type of games. And obviously adding Star Fox, I don't want to say pushed me over to getting it, but definitely piqued my interest more. For sure. I mean, the way that I do things now is I'm going to get it for the Switch over anything else.
October 16th.
Okay, so...
It's a little bit later than we were thinking.
But it's still going to be out.
Yeah.
October's a packed month. Everything's in October.
Yeah.
But I'm just really looking forward to that one, like, by a long shot. I think it's very underrated. I hope it does well. And I think having the figures attached to the controller, mm-hmm. rather than having another base and buying a bunch of other things here and there, I think that's going to be a little bit different. And Ubisoft is really doing well with it. And I'm really glad of the partnership that they have with Nintendo. Because if they announced this, said it's coming to the Switch, and then if they didn't say anything about Star Fox, a lot of people are going to bitch, be like, well, this is perfect for Star Fox. We're Star Fox.
Yeah.
And then, so they got it right this time. So good on Ubisoft. Good on Nintendo for allowing them to do this and turn it out.
I know what your second one is.
What is it?
Death Stranding.
Yes. Death Stranding is... I don't even know what the hell it is, but it's Hideo Kojima, Norman Reedus. I don't even care. I don't even know what to say about it, because who the heck knows
what it is? It's super weird.
Nobody knows what it is.
If you haven't seen the gameplay trailer from E3, you have to go look at it. At one point, he takes, like, a baby. He loads a baby into, like, a backpack.
Yep.
And then uses it to, like, it's like a flashlight, like a strobe light that shows specters in the air around him or something like that. Like, it's just... It's so out there, and it looks so weird, but I can't help but be excited about it.
Yes.
It's so weird.
Whenever
it looks
the
fun.
Stupid thing comes out. Yeah. We don't know. But, yes, that is definitely on my top. I have nothing really to say about it, because I don't even know where to go with it. I mean, it's like, what the hell? Hideo Kojima, okay.
But I remember I saw it on my list, and I was like, that has to be one of his
names.
That's
definitely one of the top ones. The third one... The third one I'm going to mix with Smash Brothers, so we'll see.
So would it
Smash
be
Brothers.
Like Party?
No.
No?
No.
Is it Nintendo?
It's on Nintendo. What's one of my favorite franchises?
Banjo-Kazooie.
Well, besides that. What's one of my favorite franchises that was shown this year? Yeah, actually, that might trick you, because it could be one or two. I could even say this game could be all tied for three with Smash. In fact, actually, I'm going to take that back. I'm going to take Smash out and put this game and this game together.
It's not,
as three.
It's not like Spyro, is it?
No.
No?
It's not a remaster. I'll give you that. One of them you should know. The other one may be nice. I don't know how often I talk about it, but I love the series. But one of them you should know.
Am I allowed to look at my list?
You are allowed to look at your list. Okay. As he's looking at the list, I will try to sit here and not talk about it. But one of the games, well, really both of them, I just have a huge history with. I love them dearly. I play them as often as I can. There's just something about the lore of these games. I don't know what it is. The character development in one of them, there's a hint. The other one's just fun. Hard, but fun. That's your other hint.
I don't know.
How do you not know this?
I am at a loss.
Okay, so do I have to tell you, or are you gonna, or do you want like one more?
I was gonna guess Cyberpunk 2077 until you said that.
No, I'll tell you one of them. I'll tell you the one I didn't think you were gonna get, and then you have to get the other one.
Okay.
So I love Mega Man. Was let down by Mighty Number 9.
Yeah. As was everyone else.
As was everyone else, yeah. Anyone with a brain.
Yeah.
Capcom, please don't screw this up. I pre-ordered the big one with the amiibo. I love Mega Man. Mega Man 11, please don't cancel it like you did Legends. I mean, I don't think they can, because they showed the game, they showed the box, they showed the amiibo. I mean, it comes out in October. Like, every freaking other thing in the entire world comes out in October. Just don't cancel this, please. I'm excited.
That's not Dragon Quest, is it?
No. How do you not know? I'll give you another hint. Well, Mega Man really wasn't, but this game was not... It was shown at E3, but it was not announced at E3.
Oh, so it's just one of the ones as part of, like, a showcase or something? Okay, so here's just real quick. I'm off on a tangent now.
Okay.
I didn't catch an announcement or them saying what it was, but I hopped in because I was at work, and okay. I hopped in... It was the second day of Nintendo's stuff. Because the first day they did, like, their announcements and stuff, and the second day they did, like, a treehouse or something?
The treehouse, yeah. Showing off a lot of things.
Yeah. So the second day I hopped in, like, a little bit in, because I was already, I was at work and I was doing other things. And I hopped in and I saw something that was definitely Xenoblade. But was it, like, a new Xenoblade, or was it, like, a DLC?
So, depending, it was a DLC, Xenoblade 2. I forget what the official DLC is called. It is going to be out this year, but it is Xenoblade 2 DLC.
Okay, because so, it looked,
that'd be something for you.
Yeah, it looked a lot like Xenoblade 2, yes. Which I love. Xenoblade Chronicles is like one of my big ones. Because I loved the original for Wii and 3DS. I loved the second one for Wii U, mm-hmm. which makes me really sad that. You know, nobody had a Wii U because Xenoblade Chronicles X was awesome. And I've been having all sorts of fun with Xenoblade Chronicles 2 on Switch. I hopped in and I saw, and it looked a lot like Xenoblade Chronicles 2, but it was like all new characters. I didn't recognize anyone in it. And I was like, is this like a new thing, or is this just like a part of the game?
It's a part of the game. It is DLC. Unfortunately, okay. I don't know too much about it.
Yeah.
It looked good.
Yeah, I'll have to look deeper into it. I completely forgot about it till just now. We were talking about Nintendo, and it got me thinking.
So how do you not know what the third one was? Come on. One of my favorite franchises of all time.
Banjo-Kazooie 3.
I wish. One day.
Nuts and Bolts HD.
Oh, good God almighty. We won't... That's a topic in itself for that one. Keeping our listeners waiting.
You're keeping them waiting.
Do I have to tell you what it is?
You might.
So did you completely forget about Tomb Raider coming out in September?
Oh.
he acts like I should have. You should have known this. You know how much I love Tomb Raider.
Yeah, to be fair, I forgot they even showed that off.
All right, well, moving on then, because I don't even want to talk about that now. No, I love Tomb Raider. I'm really looking forward to this new one. I love the character developments in the other ones. Played them both. A few times, actually. Never got bored with them. You know, I just like the style of it.
Yeah.
You know, I love it. And I really... I think Tomb Raider and Spider-Man, actually, and Spyro all come out within 1 week of each other.
Yep.
So...
No, the new... It does look really good.
See, this is why, guys, I gotta finish all this stuff, because I've got not a whole lot of games to play in August. I just have a very personal, busy August. I've got a few shows. I got a wedding, you know. And then September, I got 3 games right in a row. October, I got games. November's going to be Pokemon. December's going to be Smash. And I just need to pass out, man. I'm done. Oh, I'm going to go sleep. You finish the podcast now.
But I think Shadow of the Tomb Raider does look really good. The reboots are just really great.
Yes.
Especially, you know, and it's kind of amazing that they were able to revitalize this franchise so well. After the way it was going, and especially, you know, after some of the later ones like Underworld and Legend and stuff like that. It
started to pick back up with just Tomb Raider when they released Tomb Raider
back
on PS4
in 2013. Yeah.
That's what got me back into the series, because I played a lot of them on, you know, the PlayStation 1 and everything there.
Yeah.
And just when Tomb Raider came out on PS3 and 360, that's when it really started to... I actually played it twice, because I played that one, and then I got the Definitive Edition for the PS4 when they remastered it, and I played it again, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm. So now I played it again on PC.
Yes. I used to do a video walkthrough of those, too, once upon a time. So
I don't I'm sure you can still find those somewhere if you look hard enough.
They were on my Facebook memories a few times. So, anyway, so I think was there any other games you wanted to talk about, or should we go into maybe some disappointments? I know you're going to talk about Anthem. Or
let's see.
Double check your list there.
As far as like hype, obviously, like I said, they didn't really show off anything for Elder Scrolls. I'm not, like, super hyped for Elder Scrolls yet, so they show off, like, what's new and what's different and stuff. They announced the new Wolfenstein, which is cool, but, you know, again, it was kind of an inevitable thing.
Yeah, of course.
They announced the new Doom, which I am super excited for, because Doom was awesome, so Doom Eternal should be pretty great, too, as long as it follows in the same footsteps. Rage 2, I don't care about. They can convince me to care about it, but right now I'm kind of meh.
And it looked good, and you know, I think like a lot of more of the hype is with me right now for that, but I have to wait until, I mean, it comes out spring of next year, so there's plenty of time for them to show some new videos, do some new things.
What does have me kind of excited is it looks a lot like Mad Max, and it's made by the company that made the Mad Max game a few years back, and I did really like that. The Mad Max game from a few years ago was super good. So if it is like Mad Max, then I'm all in. But it's not like on my hype list right now. They announced Starfield. But again, they didn't show anything. They didn't say anything. It was just...
Here it is.
Yeah. We are working on this, but we're not going to tell you anything about it. So that one, you know, obviously, I like Bethesda's games. As long as it's... If it's like a big sprawling space RPG, like Fallout and... Elder Scrolls, then I'm all in.
Absolutely. But,
you know, I have no idea right now. We talked how awesome Starlink is going to be. They announced the Donkey Kong DLC for
Mario
Plus Rabbids.
Such an underrated game, guys. Please go play it.
Mario Plus Rabbids is probably one of my favorite Switch games. If you haven't tried it, you have to try it. It's such a...
It's funny. This is funny.
Yeah. It's funny, but it's also a surprisingly deep strategy RPG.
Yes.
If you like XCOM, it's basically XCOM, but funny and with Mario and Rabbids. Mm. But no, it's super fun. If you're on the fence about it or haven't even heard of it, you should definitely play Mario Plus Rabbids because it's such a good game. Square Enix, I was just kind of disappointed with in general. They hyped themselves up.
Yes.
I don't think I would have been excited, except this was their first, like, showcase in forever. They don't normally come and do their own showcase. And they came to do a showcase, and they sent out emails and stuff. They were all over their social media, and they were like, you guys have to come see this. You guys have to, you know, new heroes will rise, and, you know, new adventures await, and all this stuff. And then they basically just showed a handful of trailers for games that they had already announced. And that was it.
And obviously Kingdom Hearts was there.
Yeah, and I mean, like, good games were there. I'm not saying they weren't good games, but they didn't do anything with it. They had so much potential, and they had hyped themselves up so much. And they didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering how much they were hyping themselves up. I was waiting for some, like, you know, like, Final Fantasy 16 or, you know, the maybe even, like, a surprise drop. One of those where they're like, by the way, Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out next week, or something like that.
That would have been, holy shit.
Exactly, you know? I was looking for one of those moments, where it was just like, oh my gosh, you know, they just did that. And they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They hyped everyone up, and they didn't follow through. And that kind of bugged me.
So, I think we're kind of getting a little bit of the disappointment stuff.
Beyond Good and Evil, I'm excited for, because...
Still.
The first Beyond Good and Evil was pretty cool. I played that on GameCube, I believe it was, the first time.
Yes.
And that was all sorts of fun. So if the second one is as good as the first one was, then I am all on board.
All on board.
They didn't announce it this year, but you know, it was one of those that they just showed more of, and that one looks super cool.
I agree.
The new Assassin's Creed, the RPG aspects and dialogue options and stuff has me kind of like psyched for a new Assassin's Creed, finally, for the first time in years. We'll wait on Anthem. We talked about Spider-Man. We talked about Kingdom Hearts. I don't know how to feel about the new Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. They basically said the team behind Titanfall is working on a Star Wars game, and it's going to be like an adventure title. Kind of the way they described it reminded me of the old PC. Star Wars games like Jedi Knight and Jedi Academy and stuff like that.
Of course.
And if so, then that's fine. That's cool. But they didn't even have, like, a splash screen. Like, at least Bethesda, you know, they had, like, the little teaser where it said, like, Starfield or Elder Scrolls 6 or mm-hmm. something like that. They didn't even show that. They had nothing. It was just, like, a guy sitting there talking for, like, 2 minutes about, we're working on a new Star Wars game and it's going to be pretty cool. And I'm like...
See, I can't really get hyped over something like that. It's like, okay, I would say, like, Metroid Prime 4 last year was kind of the same way, but at least they said they had, like, a little teaser, like, you saw the spinning, I can't think of it right now, the spinning thing come, like, start to fade in from the clouds and everything, yeah. And then you saw a giant 4 come at you.
Yeah.
So at least you had that, but it's like, you know, we don't know what the subtitle's going to be, we didn't see any gameplay footage. I'll get into that one in a minute when I talk about Nintendo, because mm-hmm. there's only two disappointments I really want to talk about.
We don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but Cyberpunk 2077 looks cool.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, with the pedigree behind it, I'm excited.
Yes.
I think if it were a new IP from, like, an unknown company, I'd be like, you know, well, that could be a cool RPG, or that could be a bomb, we'll kind of have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But being it's coming from the people that made The Witcher trilogy,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I'm more hopeful than I would have been. It's got me at least excited about it. Last of Us Part 2 looks amazing.
Yes.
Again, that one was already announced. We already knew it was coming, but they showed, like, an extended gameplay. It was, like, what, like 25 minutes?
Yeah.
And they didn't mess around. They didn't try to, you know, like, do anything... campy or, you know, over the top. They basically just went out on stage and played The Last of Us 2 for like a half hour, mm-hmm. and it was cool. And I had no problems with that either. Like, I think there are ways that they could have hyped up people a little bit more, but I think it was just a really effective way of being like, just a reminder that this is coming and you guys should be excited. And so that was great.
No release date for that one yet.
Not yet, but I feel like that was about as good as they could have done for The Last of Us 2 right now. It was better than showing off a new trailer or anything. It was just a fun sample of what's to come. Ghost of Tsushima. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that looks awesome. Again, like you were saying, it's from Sucker Punch, so it's got a little bit of a pedigree behind it as well.
Yeah, those guys know what they're doing. I've been waiting to see what Sucker Punch has been working on for a long time.
Yeah, and just more than anything, more than like the combat or anything like that, the environment's caught my eye. That game looks gorgeous.
Sucker Punch is always really good about building these worlds. Like Infamous's worlds, even on the PlayStation 3, look above their time.
Yeah, so I don't know if... you know, I don't know a whole lot about it other than, you know, the little bit that we saw. Mm-hmm. You got to see some of, like, the samurai combat and stuff, which looks fine. But more than anything, I'm just super hyped for that game because it looks amazing. I just want to see it in action.
Yes.
And I think that's most of the list.
Okay.
Shadows Die Twice, the new game from Software.
Okay.
Again, you know, like, cool, they're making another game, and it looks pretty much like another Dark Souls. It's gonna be a super hard semi-RPG. Like, that's fine. It's not necessarily like on my super hyped list, but cool. I'm glad they're doing it. I'm sure I'll play it, you know? like I said, a buddy of mine is super stoked for Devil May Cry 5, and I thought the trailer looked cool, mm-hmm. but I'm having trouble kind of like getting like really up there for it. So I'm replaying the old games right now, and we'll see how it goes. But right now I'm just kind of like, okay, cool.
That's some fun.
Dying Light 2 looks pretty cool.
Dying Light 2 looks good.
I liked the first one, and the second one looks to improve on everything and add a bunch of new features, mm-hmm. which... My goodness.
Oh, boy.
Which I'm glad about, because...
Pause for dramatic effect, because your drink.
They're not just playing on the popularity of Dying Light. They're not just trying to make, you know, Dying Light slightly enhanced. It looks like they are adding a whole lot of new features and new stuff to kind of make it a unique title. And so I'm happy about that. And I think as far as games, that kind of covers it.
Okay. So I agree with you on a lot of it. I mean, you kind of touched on a little bit of all the games that I'm also looking forward to. You know, for me, like, Kingdom Hearts 3 looks really good. So when I saw that and then finally got a concrete release date, it kind of went off in my head. I was like, okay, let's sit down, play at least the first two. I'm not going to worry about the other ones, just to have at least the first two out of the way. And I've talked to some other people who said, yeah, all you really need is that to get ready. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to that. I got to keep peeking at my list here. Smash Brothers, Spider-Man, Mega Man 11, Resident Evil 2, Starlight Battle for Atlas. All fantastic looking. All, you know, very much looking forward to it. Spyro the Ignited Trilogy, you know, because I never played it. I played a little bit of it on PS1. I never had a PS1 when I was younger, so I never really got to sit down and enjoy all three of them that are going to be on this. Which is why, like, the Crash Bandicoot Trilogy, I was very happy that that is out and coming out for the Switch. But I want to talk about some disappointments. And I can only really talk about the ones that I know a lot of. I'm not going to try and sit here and point fingers. Like, you notice we didn't really talk a lot about Microsoft. This because we don't really follow Microsoft much. Yeah, Halo, Gears of War, great. Good for them.
I have no reason to really follow them as far as their consoles anymore, because everything is compatible with Windows now.
Yes.
So, like, I like Gears of War a lot, but I've been buying Gears of War from the Microsoft store and just playing it on my PC. I've built my desk here and my computer and stuff, and it's like there's no reason for me to also have an Xbox. Mm-hmm. So unless they're devoting their time to something that I really care about, I kind of tune out a little bit there. Which they did talk a little bit about, like Gears of War and stuff, and they showed one of the trailers for Kingdom Hearts this year. Yeah, I think just in general, they did announce that they're working on their next Xbox.
Yeah.
They didn't say much about it, but they just said, you know, they kind of officially announced, like, it is in progress. We do have people, like, working on the next console. So, again, it's like, cool.
We can get into that later, because I've got some thoughts on that one. But
and they announced that they're working on a streaming box, too, which just seems redundant. Like, who knows? That one I just straight up don't care about, because there's kind of an influx of those right now anyway. Yes. You've got plenty of options. And even if you didn't have a lot of options, you can build a PC that will do that for you for pretty cheap. And, I mean, you can buy, like, if you build a PC, you might as well just buy, like, the Steam Link for, like, $35 and do it that way. Or, you know, like, tablets. Tablets and phones now can stream games. It's like, that one I don't care about.
So for me, I think some of the disappointments, I'm going to start with Sony, is that a lot of the stuff they showed out, so like the Ghost of Tsushima, or what it's called, a lot of it we've already knew about, which is fine. Like, Last of Us 2, great. Spider-Man, great. But we kind of already knew about that. And I really wanted to see, like, something else, and I'm surprised you didn't mention it, but unless I completely missed it, there was no mention of not only Shenmue 3,
no, but they didn't talk about it.
They didn't even show off or talk about the remaster of 1 and 2, which was supposedly supposed to be out this year.
Yeah.
So I didn't see anything like that. And then I'm going to go... People are going to call me a fanboy.
Again, I kind of have trouble building up hype for it. And I don't remember... I don't know if we talked about it in the podcast or if we talked about this separately. But I'm kind of a sucker for playing games on, like, the console that they're made for. The ones they're meant to be played on. And so I've got my Dreamcast not even, like, tucked aside. Like, it's hooked up to my main entertainment center out there right now. And I've got Shenmue and Shenmue 2, like, for Dreamcast. And so it's like, you know, again, for people that have never played it and people that want to experience it for the first time, that's awesome. For me, I'm personally having trouble getting hyped up for the remasters of 1 and 2 because I still have my original copies and I'd rather play them on there than on, like, my PS4 anyway. Shenmue 3, obviously, I'm excited for, but that one kind of feels like dead air right now. I'm kind of getting the feeling that's going to end up being a Last Guardian. It's going to get pushed off for years and years, and it's going to be like a PS5 launch title or something instead.
Probably. And, you know, it kind of going along with that is that, you know, I've never played Shenmue 1 and 2 because I didn't have a PS1, so I also definitely didn't have a Dreamcast.
Yeah.
So for having the remaster coming out, I was looking forward to that, to sitting down and playing these fantastic games for the first time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's still early. We're only in mid-June, so they could still say something. Like, oh, you know, here's like a random November release, probably January release, just like everything else.
In that same vein, though, what I do not have right now is a PS2, because I've got, like, because I've got, you know, I don't really have a reason to need a PS2, and so I had sold mine, and then I wanted to get into Yakuza. I've been hearing a lot about Yakuza, and I wanted to get into those, so I was on the hunt for, like, the Yakuza games and the and a PS2. Just some stuff I could pick up for cheap to try out the old games. But, you know, now that the new one's out, and it's kind of riding on a high right now. But what they did announce was during the PC games showcase at E3, they announced that they're remastering Yakuza 0 and the original Yakuza for PC. Those are going to be coming out for Steam.
Okay.
So those, being I don't have the original consoles and I've never played them on the original consoles, I don't kind of have that qualm about playing it on a new one.
Okay.
So I am excited to pick those up. When those, I think they said August?
Oh, another August release.
Yeah, like August or September, you know, right in there with all the other games. But I am excited to pick those up and play those whenever those come out.
So, I'm going to go ahead and just go right to Nintendo. And, you know, I know people are going to call me a fanboy, which, again, I am. Mm-hmm. But I also want to make sure that I don't think a lot of people caught this or realize this. First and foremost, Nintendo said that this year's E3, they were going to focus on Smash as their big one, which was true. It took up pretty much the second half of their entire show, showing off.
And it wasn't even a whole lot of new stuff. They were just sitting there playing Smash, basically.
Yeah, I mean, they announced Ridley, they announced Daisy, they said all the characters would come back, and they showed it off, which was great. But they also said this. Last year's E3 was the Switch's first E3. So they showed everything that they could possibly could. Metroid, Yoshi, everything. This year, they said, we're focusing on what you're going to be playing this year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring up my list here. And things that were shown that did not make an appearance here, at least to my knowledge. Obviously, the big one being Metroid Prime 4. That one's going to be... I knew Metroid Prime 4. I was surprised they didn't talk about it a little bit, but not showing or by not announcing it or saying anything, I kind of knew it was going to happen. We knew going into this that Pokemon was going to be out this year and that Smash Brothers was going to be out this year.
Yeah.
That's their... They usually do two big heavy hitter titles for the holidays. Mm-hmm. That was it. So Metroid Prime, I'm fine with that. The one big one I was kind of surprised about, because they usually kind of throw something in like August, September to kind of wet the whistle. They didn't show Yoshi that they showed last year, and they actually had, you know, like gameplay of it. So that kind of surprised me a little bit, because I thought that that was going to be like their get ready for the holiday before they release these big, heavy, like Yoshi figured be like a $40, $50 game, not a full price retail. Mm. Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes wasn't shown. They actually had a little bit of footage of that before, too. Luigi's Mansion for 3DS. You know, I loved Luigi's Mansion. Mm-hmm. And they said this is because they didn't mention that in the treehouse or anything.
Yeah.
Going from there, and then they didn't... Two of the rumored games that they were going to show that they didn't show, one of them being Animal Crossing, which...
There was a big thing about that.
Yes, which...
There were a lot of people talking about how they didn't show Animal Crossing and how disappointed they were.
So I think that one's going to be like a next year title too, because if I had to take a super early shot in the dark, and this is super duper 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 early, I think something like Animal Crossing and Metroid are going to be their two big titles for next year, 2019 holiday, maybe early 2020. And then, God, what was the other one that I wanted to talk about? Talk about Luigi's Mansion, Yoshi, all that. The F-Zero racing game. Like, that one, they were thought for sure Retro Studios was going to show that off. And they didn't. But I still see that one coming. I see them doing something like that, maybe announcing it at a later time, and then having that be like one of their potential early next year titles. Maybe Yoshi will get pushed to early next year, because this year they had Kirby Star Allies and they remastered Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. Those were like their two spring ones. Oh, and then, of course, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I don't think it'll be day one, but you know, we got Super Mario Party coming out October 5th, so that's kind of like that could be their August September launch, early October.
And which that one looks super fun.
That one looks different. I like that one.
I was really burned up a little bit by Mario Party for Wii U. As much as I liked my Wii U, That was the lamest Mario Party I've ever played. And that's saying something, because, like, the first few for N64 were great. And then they kind of started going downhill a little bit. Like, you know, they were fine, but, like, they weren't amazing. But Mario Party for Wii U was just boring. It wasn't
good, yeah.
It was boring. And so it looks like the innovations they're bringing, especially, like, so they showed one of the big things that a lot of people were talking about was, I guess the Switches have a capability to show where they are in correlation with other Switches. So you can play like a 2, 3, 4 player game just on one Switch. Or if you and your buddies all have Switches, you can bring your Switches together and it gives you unique mini games.
Yes.
Mini games that you wouldn't get just in a one Switch game. You can like set your Switches side by side or like move them around and it actually changes the game space, the table that you're playing on based on where the screens are. And that kind of blows my mind a little bit. That's super cool. That prospect of, first of all, just, you know, a new Mario Party that's hopefully better than the last few, but also a new Mario Party where you can get unique experiences depending on who brings their own consoles.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Absolutely. I like that prospect a lot. So
yes.
I just wanted to toss that in there.
Yeah, and that looks different, looks good, and like I said, you know, you can say some of these things not being seen or talked about was a disappointment, but I'll give Nintendo credit in saying this is what you're going to be playing within the near future, between now and the end of the year, which is great. And it also keeps me a little bit hyped about what's still coming,
because
there were times where it's like, okay, well, here's all the big stuff, what do I have to look for after we're done with it? Mm-hmm. So, you know, looking forward to, you know, Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes, Yoshi, Metroid Prime 4. You know, we're going to get an Animal Crossing. I mean, I'm sure we're going to get that F-Zero racing game. We've got to. I mean, because what is... They didn't announce who's working on Metroid Prime 4. Could it be Retro Studios? Could it be somebody else? Who knows? I mean, I've heard a rumor that Bandai Namco also has their hand in that, because, you know, they are, like, helping Nintendo with everything under the sun now. And also, Dragon Ball FighterZ is coming to Switch. So hopefully that means that when they release a Dragon Ball Z game or something like that, we can put it all on the same consoles at once. But really, other than that, you know, I very much enjoyed the C3. I very much enjoyed what was coming out. I really don't have anything else. Was there anything last minute that you wanted to add before we wrap this up?
Let me check my list one more time. I talked some about my disappointments. The only other big thing that I'm super burned up about is that Anthem does not look like a BioWare game anymore.
It doesn't look that good.
I mean, well,
I want it to be good.
A long time ago, maybe. They went through a period where they did, like, MDK and stuff like that, but their pedigree is always their RPGs, you know? Like, they got big because of, like, Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter Nights and stuff like that, and it feels like they're kind of turning their back on that, because it looks like, first of all, like, it's a new sci-fi shooter, but not, like, a sci-fi shooter RPG. This isn't Mass Effect, which is a great game, a great series, you know, by BioWare. But it's a new sci-fi shooter in the vein of Destiny. It's always online, and you have to be grouped up, and you do, like, little shooter missions cooperatively. And it looks like a super bummer, because it doesn't look like a BioWare game. It doesn't look like an RPG. They've taken out, like, dialogue trees and stuff like that. It's just, it's a Destiny clone. They're playing on the popularity of Destiny right now.
Absolutely.
And it makes me mad.
So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, it just, I mean, I want, it looked, eh. We'll see. I mean, I'm not the biggest online person, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But unless you had anything else to add, I think we just wrapped up our E3 wrap-up.
Yeah.
So, guys, thank you again so much for watching. We'll be back in about 2 weeks with another show for you. Please comment, like, subscribe, follow us anywhere. I don't even remember anything. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We are
everything.
So we are on Google Play.
Yes, we're on, and I posted about it on our social media, but if you hadn't heard, we are on all of the major social networks and things now.
Yes.
You can find our podcast on Podomatic, first and foremost. That's where we host it.
Where we started.
But we also have it on Google Play, on iTunes, and on Spotify now. So pretty much whatever you use to listen to music or podcasts, you can find us there now. We're on all the major ones.
We'll keep the links down below, because obviously still being a new channel, a new search BFG podcast, you know, it doesn't always come up right away, so we'll make sure that we put it out a lot easier for you guys. And really, that's all we had. Thank you guys so much for watching. How long did we go today, Tyler?
Today was an hour and 19, which wasn't bad considering all we covered.
Not bad.
I don't know what we've got for next time beyond... I know we'll be doing Jurassic World.
Yes, we will be seeing that next week.
We've already got Jurassic World planned for Friday night.
Yes.
So we'll be covering that and... other than that, you know, we'll figure the rest of it out.
Yeah, but we usually, you know, we kind of do this throughout the weeks. So we kind of gather some information, and then we hammer it out before the show starts and chat about it.
Yeah, but make sure to come back next time, at least for Jurassic World.
Yes, just Jurassic World. That's all you need to come back for. Screw the rest of what we talk about. It's all about Jurassic World. So anyway, guys, thanks again so much for watching, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
See ya.